Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Beyond the Rules podcast and the second edition of Tips for the Well-Rounded Official. This week's tip is engaging with coaches and spectators. And of course, to help me with that tip is the handsome Honduran himself, Mr. Carlos Domo. How are you, brother?
I'm just doing fantastically well. Just back from visiting my old college. I was inducted into the Athletic Hall of Fame. And it just an incredible feeling to have, but also an incredible honor to have my accomplishments while there highlighted and now forever enshrined in their Hall of Fame. So feeling fantastically well.
Fantastically well. I'm going to get that tattooed on my forehead. No, I'm joking. But first of all, for me, I pride myself as all the Ninja Turtles to your Splinter because you're my North Star. You and Curtis are my guys. And to have you guys in the first edition of this, which is going back to the Beyond the Rules roots of becoming an official is one thing. You know, you learning the rules is awesome. And it helps you gain love for a sport and a trade that it really is illuminating. But learning how to be better at something is a different story. And somebody who has not only gone to the level that you have to become a Hall of Fame, and this is not your first one. I mean, we both started at BUA, and say what you will about BUA, you've been acknowledged with BUA. And listen, we do this for the love. But when people tell you that you're good, and they acknowledge it, it feels good. It validates that your love is genuine. So good for you. And I hope to grow up to be you one day.
You just continue working and you'll get your acknowledgments and highlights, career highlights. So keep
as the kids say, you get your flowers.
You know, I did actually get flowers. My partner Carmen gave me flowers and surprised the heck out of me. But we can talk about that later as well.
Yeah, well, this isn't talking shop, but we're going to be a little more precise. And for people who listen to the first episode with Curtis, where we talked about telling the call to yourself, I want people to understand that these are educational. Say you're going to a job and they play those silly HR things. We're going to do that. But it's actually going to be meaningful. It's actually going to be something you learn. You go to camps. But this is going to be the book on tape of that. We're going to have a series where people can take things that from not just me, who's an experienced umpire, but I'm still in the process and the gestation of learning things. Talking to somebody like Carlos, somebody like Curtis, who have been there, done that. And we want to give you the information to become a better official and whatever sport that you're doing. And what we're going to talk about today, like I said off the jump, is engaging with spectators and coaches, which, depending on whatever you're doing, is different. We're going to talk about basically being at sort of that recreational level where you're coming up in the game, you're just starting, you're working for your town, you're gearing up for ball that the team's name is the town's name. So sometimes the talent may vary, the coaches may vary in terms of how much they know, how much they're invested because their kids are playing, how much they want to be doing anything else because they were the only person who volunteered for the job. It takes a lot to know how to deal with that. And one of the things that I've taken over the course of being an official, the knowledge, and brought to the table my own personality is, while I might be a hyper fast guy, I'm calm in situations of tension. That's just my personality. But that's allowed me to be a better umpire or an official in general. So what I mean by engaging and with spectators and coaches is an approach that is, you should go out there and you should know the rules. You should know how to deliver what is your job for the sport that you're doing. Judge it properly, get into position, tell the call to yourself, do all the things that it takes to be competent in whatever you're doing. But the stuff I want to talk about is the beyond the rules stuff. How do you deal with the personalities of a coach? How do you deal with the personalities of an athlete? And how do you deal with the personalities of spectators, aka parents? And one of the things I'll start off with is, and how to employ it Personally speaking, I don't abstain from talking to parents. I don't abstain from talking from kids or athletes or coaches in the extra sense. I try to approach the game, especially if we're dealing with like travel ball, high school, and I'm sure you could talk about college. It's a little different. We're not talking about that. Travel ball, you can make the experience a little more holistic and a little more approachable where you can offer information. You can help yourself beyond knowing what the rules are. You can help yourself with a flow of the game by your approach and how you deliver information. What I mean by that is learning how to be personable. So one of the things I learned from you, and you could talk about, is yeah, you need to have the confidence of, like I said, knowing the rules. With when you get that confidence, now how do you manage the game? How does Carlos walk into a field? It's 12U, 50-70. It's a tournament in the fall. You know, you're working with an umpire who you don't know. You don't know his skill level, but you're the plate guy. You're sort of the man in charge. And it's a nice day. You're in a good mood. You're communicable. Nobody's pissing you off. Beyond you, your own, because nobody knows how good you are. That's the thing. You step into a field, nobody knows how good you are. Nobody knows you're Carlos Domo, who's done D3, who's an official in five sports. They don't know, and they don't give a fuck. It doesn't matter. But how do you give them the confidence that this game is going to go smoothly and that you actually care enough about a 12U game to do the right thing?
So I think the number one thing to do is show that it's your game as an umpire, as a plate umpire. So at the plate meeting, you have to lead the conversation, introduce yourself, and you also make sure that the coaches know that, you know, if they have a question, they can approach us, but let's meet at the 45 if you have a question. And then when we get together to make a call, make a decision, that is final. And that really sets the stage for anything that may happen. Now, games do get tense. They can, and there can be critical moments of the game. However, if you just keep that open line of communication and they can meet at the 45 and you're going to give them an answer, a solid answer, it should be okay. You also have to relay to them that if you have to issue a warning for unsportsmanlike comments or conduct, that you will do that. And as long as you keep your word and keep strong to that, manage the game. And what I mean by that is in between innings, your partner stays out where he has to stay out to the outfield. The plate umpire is on one of the lines, preferably on the line, the baseline of the offensive team, manages the and he manages as pitcher and catcher is warming up. When they get to the third pitch, tell the pitcher and the on-deck batter that there's two pitches remaining. As long as you can do that, you're showing you have control. Now, when shit happens, we got to make sure to, you know, call time and now deflate the situation from getting worse. So if that means that you have to address a coach because of a player, do that. In addition to the plate meeting, you also should let the coaches know that they are responsible for their parents. So please, you ask, can you please help me in managing that? And this way, if anything happens, you can address the head coach and he can address the parent because that's ultimately who you want. I was told from the beginning when I first started this avocation, don't have rabbit ears. And what that means is spectators are going to say what they need to say. Players may say some things, coaches may say something, but you can't go after everything. You know, some things you can slide, some you can't, but spectators.
I got to piggyback right because one of the biggest points I always say is not to interrupt, it's a piggyback. Hear everything, listen to a few things. It's very prudent of you as an umpire to hear everything, but listen and respond to a few things. You can't take every and internalize everything too.
Correct.
So,
Correct.
you know, to me, when you say don't have rabbit ears, is don't look for the things that are going to piss you off. because you'll find them. You will find something that's going to take, whether it's real or not. It can mess with you in a way where it allow you to perceive something where like somebody has something against you. And regardless of whether that somebody does have something against you or not, or they're saying something directly to you or not, it is helpful to sort of always approach it in a way where it's not just not taking it personal. Obviously, that is a sort of easy thing to say. I don't like to say don't take things personally when you're out there doing your job and you're trying your best and somebody's criticizing you. It kind of like simplifies it. It's hard to not take it personal. You're doing your best. Not only are you doing your best, you'd be doing other things. This is not our first job. A lot of us want it to be a good umpire, a lot of good officials. We want to get to that level, but for the most part, we're doing this because we actually have some love, and we're trying our best. So it's not like any other job where people can just go over you and be like, "Oh, you're doing that job wrong, bitch," or say something like that, you know, like, or just come at you in a way where it's very volatile. So to sort of keep your composure, you sort of have to, like I said, not have rabbit ears. Hear
Right.
everything, pick what you're going to listen to, and really, just like you are judicious with the rules and how you judge things, sort of say take that same sort of reaction and pause and digest what it is, because you want to turn around and be like, you don't know shit, because that's what we feel when you don't know anything. For somebody who's not as non-reactive as I am to a lot of things, for better or worse, I don't get bothered by things. So, but I've been bothered by making a call and then having somebody who's 50, 75 feet away scream at me and say the opposite call. And I want to be like, I want to react to them,
Right.
but just tell yourself, hey, you are 5 feet away from that call. Who cares at all what somebody has to say who's A, looking at it very binary? They're either for the call or against the call based on whoever they side with. Number one. Number two, they're 100 feet away. Stick with your call, be confident in it, and give off that confidence, because you'd be surprised how a lot of times they'll live with the decision, regardless of how they felt about it, because of how you reacted to it.
Absolutely. And you couldn't put it any clearer than that. You know, for coaches who say something, I mean, after the ground rules, you know, if there was a call maybe at the plate or something, and you know, maybe it was 50-50 and it went against them, you know, you can give the coach a little grace. He may say something and you could just say, okay, I heard you. I heard you. And to acknowledge it, and we have to move on. And if a further conversation has to be had, you know, and there's a moment in time when something isn't happening, you can give them that courtesy at the 45 and then just remind them, okay, we have to move on and just continue, you know. But if he continues, or the coach continues after that, then you have to send a stronger message, and that may be a warning, and that's fine because it's part of the game.
One of the things that, again, further your thought, but like we're talking about employment. We talked about the whys, and what engaging with parents are. Like I said, is it an impossible thing to just say across the board, abstain from talking to coaches, abstain with fraternizing? You're out there, you're doing four games, you're doing three games at a place. You're human. You want to engage. And I'll say this right off the bat. If you don't have the information and you don't have the skill set, silence is always going to be your a protection. But if you do have the ability to articulate yourself, I would encourage it, because the more knowledgeable the athletes are, the more knowledgeable the parents are, the more knowledgeable the coaches are, the easier it is for you to do your job, because you've informed them in a way that gives them confidence that you know what you're talking about. So at the end of the day, they can just disagree or agree with your call. And that goes a long way. It takes tact, it takes social skills, it takes a lot that goes beyond the rules, but that's what we're talking about. And one of the things I wanted to piggyback on what you're saying, when you are giving off the rules and when you are talking to coaches, giving them the confidence that you know what you're talking about isn't just a show. You have to do your own due diligence to know what you're talking about. And that is something that no podcast, no other person is going to make you do other than yourself, and reading and informing yourself of what the rules are. So I always want to make that foundational. But once you do that, how you register that to them is something that as officials becomes cool because it's artisanal at that point. We all have different approaches, we all have different styles. While I value you and Curtis as two of my biggest influences, we're not the same officials. We take different directions to get to the same destination, and that's awesome. And that's great because we're using our judgment, but we're still coming to the same conclusion. But we get there differently. Our perceptions are always going to be different. No matter what, as human beings, you could see the same thing, the same color, the same shape differently. But if you use all the information that you have available to you, you should come to the same conclusion. And when you talk to parents, when you talk to coaches, especially on the, like I said, non-paid level, where these are not high school coaches. We're not talking about Mike Toro. We're not talking about any college coaches that you interact with. Guys, officials, if your goal is to be an official, making money is probably the number one thing. But there's an easier way to make that money. So whether you want to be Carlos or Curtis and be Division One, Two, Three umpires in college, or you want to be the best recreational umpire, you're still going to make that money, and you can make it an easier way. And part of that way is being an approachable person to everybody around you who's going through the game situation and understanding what that is for them. To me, it is paramount for me to be an official to think the way other people think. I already know how I'm going to think. I already know how I'm going to look at a game. But it's not going to help me to talk to another person without understanding where they're coming from as a coach, as a parent, and informing them. I'm always looking at what they don't know. They're going to tell you what they know. But what they know doesn't mean shit because of so much of what they don't know. So don't dispute what they're telling you that they know. It doesn't matter what they know. Help them figure out what they don't know. Help them figure out the things that you've learned, the things that you call yourself. Everybody who comes into officiating loves sports, right? I mean, for the most part, that's kind of got like a prerequisite. You got to love sport. We're all hurting for money, but you can't be here without a certain sort of conviction to sports. And I speak for myself, someone who's watched baseball, wrestling, and participated in both sports his entire life. I've learned more in the 10 plus years of being officiating than I did the 30 plus years of my life before that. So why don't you sort of illuminate those other people who have the same convictions that you did? They don't have the same knowledge because they're not officials, but they have the same conviction to show up as a coach, as a parent, and be there for the kids and their athletes. So help them out. And there's ways to do it. And you can abstain. And I would abstain if you don't have the knowledge. Because, like I said, the right to remain silent is better if you don't have the. I don't know is an option. You don't know, you don't know. Don't try to compensate for what you don't know with confidence. Have the confidence because of what you know. And yeah. So like your thoughts on like just the importance of engaging with the spectators, coaches, and athletes.
Yeah, so something that is not talked about and I've implemented and I think really helped me, especially with the interaction with the coaches, is you have to practice what you're going to say, write them out, and practice it over and over and over. And you can also turn on and record yourself, turn on a video, record yourself as if you're having that conversation, so that when these opportunities present itself, you're able to articulate what's going on. And talk about what the problem is, dissect it, and come up with a solution, and then just move on. Because that's something that is not done enough. And then it happens in a ball game, and you don't have a solution, and you're just going to come out with whatever comes out of your mouth, which can get you in trouble. So it is important. And it's one of those things because I remember in the beginning of my career, first of all, I was nervous. Second of all, I didn't articulate correctly, and it would upset the coaches. So, in order to prevent those things from happening and getting overboard, I would practice, 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 so that when that opportunity presented itself, I was able to do that. And at the collegiate level, as I probably should have mentioned, coordinators, they don't want you to get into it with spectators because, again, if you're doing, it doesn't matter what division you're doing, but if it's a game and it's televised, all that attention is going to go to you. So I think sometimes being silent is the best for some because you can't quote silence. You just can't. You won't get in trouble. But that's, to the spectators. But with the coaches, you can have an understanding. And it starts from the very beginning, from when you first enter the facility and they see you. Your presentation is important. You can't come ragtag. You got to come looking. Because that's the first thing. Once you show up to a ballpark, and the first thing they're going to define you by is how your appearance is. So if you don't have a clean uniform or pressed uniform, that already is going against you. And then even from the way you introduce yourself as the umpire, you can say hello to someone and shake their hand and let them know you're going to be working a game.
You get
So
taken,
those
you get taken as serious as you're going to take it.
exactly. And then your effort on the field, people can read that. They can read how hard you're running, or how locked in you are,
Yeah,
and those.
look, bro, you walk into a 12U game, they don't expect you to care the way that they do. It's their kids, right? It's their kids. I want to button this up with just a little personal experience, and you could if add your own. But just recently, I had personal experience that helped inspired me to be making this a second subject of how to interact. I had a game, 12U, 50-70. By 50-70, I mean the pitcher's 50 feet away and the bases are 70 feet away. Generally, it's in the middle of young athletes evolving. So they're going from a changing of field dimensions. And then a couple of years they're going to play on the regular 60-90. So regardless of what the task is, a 12-year-old doing anything is a 12-year-old doing something. And in this tournament, you allow one balk warning per pitcher. And now, do you call every balk for the letter of the rule? No. Right? In this scenario, when you're allowed a warning and under the understanding, the spirit, I always say there's the rules and then there's a spirit. And the spirit is the essence of what I say, like beyond the rules are. The spirit of the game. And if a kid did something that is technically a balk, but you only you as an umpire can see that. You don't need to over officiate and call it a balk. Did it impact what was going to happen? If by your judgment it wasn't, then is that risky? Sure, it's risky in a sense that if you don't know how to look at the game beyond the rules, you can get questioned and be like, "But that was a balk." And how do you articulate it to a coach? And here's how I would. There was a couple of times a situation in this game where kid turns his shoulder completely to first base. Time, you want to give, if you're going to give a warning and you have the opportunity, I'm not asking umpires to be a coach. I want to reiterate that. I'm not asking you to be a coach. Coaches are coaches, athletes are athletes, umpires and officials are officials. But there's certain times in life, in situations, whatever you're doing, where you have the opportunity to inform. And if you have the information and it is going to help you, and I want to leave on this because the essence of dealing with and engaging with spectators is if you are going to be out there, don't be a friend, be an official and be an informer. And if you have the proper information and you know how to adjudicate the game and you know how to articulate your interpretation of the rules, go do it. Go tell a kid, time, walk up to the kid. You're the best one to tell him what a balk is. Obviously, his coach didn't do it. He was It's new. It's new. It's not to say a slight on the coach. Go up there, talk to him, and I guarantee you, it's not only going to help you get through that game better because you're helping grow the culture, grow the kids, inform them. It's going to help you be a better official because there's no better learning device than teaching and informing others of what you just learned and what you understand of something. And if you're able to articulate it back to them, then you know what you're talking about. And this series, tip with a well-rounded official, once you to know what you're talking about.
Bang.
Boom.